Welcome to the Mike Chloe Kemp from Kent. It's time to be frank, it's time to vent. From mental health to parental death, where the humour is dark as she's bereft. There'll be tears and there'll be laughter, and of course there'll be talk about those pyjamas. So pull up a seat, you're in the front row now. Turn down the lights, it's time to get the clue down. Let's get the clue down.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Get the Clo Down with me, Chloe Ken, and one of my favourite part-time co-hosts, Ryan.
Part-time?
Well, you're just on now and again, aren't you? Probably more now. So guys, it's been a hot minute really since I've been on, and we will get into why quite soon. But first, I really want to just take note with everyone that it is I'm doing so well already. It is September the 11th today. It has been 22 years, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, 22 years, yeah.
22 years since 9/11, which is just a crazy amount of time. It does feel that long ago when you look back at the old video quality and picture qualities, but in the same breath, it still doesn't feel like it has been that long. It's very strange.
Yeah, definitely. Just doesn't seem right saying it was 22 years ago.
Mad. I think as well, so the other day, a couple of friends come over. One of them was Miss Ruthio. And she said to me, Chloe, what is it that has given you your fear of flying? I always hate this question, because the answer is it stemmed from 9/11. But I hate saying that because, one, I wasn't in 9/11. Two, I'm not American. And three, I was only like 12 when it happened. So I really feel like it's like I'm trying to make it about me. Like, was it involved? Was it even in the country? But how can I make this affect me? Like, that's how I feel. So when I tell people about 9/11, I always make a joke as if I'm being really stupid. And I went to do that with Ruth the other day, make a silly joke about it, completely invalidate myself. And she looked me, like, dead in the eye, and she was like, no, Chloe, that's completely validated. Like, that makes so much sense. And I think it does, actually. I think when you're 12 as well, you're still really impressionable. And I think, when I was a kid, I always used to say to my dad, flying was actually one of my favourite parts of holiday. Like, I just loved flying. I loved knowing that I was getting on this huge plane that you don't get to do very often. And when you got off it, it had taken you somewhere really cool and amazing and fun, you know. So to me, I linked planes to being fucking amazing. Then 9/11 happened, and I, you know, kind of linked them to being used as a weapon and destruction and terror, you know.
Yeah, I completely get what you're saying. My argument to you always is how many flights take off and land safely every day?
Oh, I know all that, and I'm not silly to the facts. I know it's still the safest mode of transport. The thing is, in 9/11, none of those planes went down because of technical faults. I'm very much aware of that. But for some reason, my brain still walks onto the plane now like this is a bad thing. So I obviously get anxious straight away, which is what's making it difficult.
Yeah, and like I said at the beginning, I understand. You know, I understand what you're saying. But it's difficult that sometimes once you get something in your mind and you associate something with an end result, it's hard to then change that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm completely zoned out and didn't really listen to anything you just said, but absolutely.
Fantastic. I am a bit part-time, aren't I?
Started thinking about other shit I wanted to say. But I don't know if you've been on TikTok much, but my FYP is filled with 9/11 stuff at the moment. Have you seen much?
I've seen little bits. I've seen little bits. I know you said you didn't want to go into conspiracy theory of it on it, so I won't, but I'm just going to say some of it don't make sense.
Yeah, but I have done a whole conspiracy pod. And out of
exactly.
Respect, I probably wouldn't do a conspiracy thing on the anniversary, Ryan.
No, and that's why I said I'm not going to. I'm just saying some of it doesn't make sense. That's all I'm saying.
One thing that I've seen that I've never seen before is a lot of, like, the victims' children are on TikTok posting videos and photos now, and it's so heartwarming and like heartbreaking at the same time, you know. But it's so sweet that some of these children were literally probably like 2, 3, you know, when their parents or parent died in 9/11, and they still are able to put together this really beautiful video for them that obviously means a lot. So it's so sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, the Americans are really coming through with the tearjerkers tonight. But
yeah. Wow.
So moving on from 9/11, because it's, you know, it's a sad subject. Let's try not to bum everybody out too much. We have been quiet, guys, pretty much the whole of the summer holidays. I think my last pod was like July. We're now in September. So yeah, the whole of the summer holidays. And first of all, one of the reasons is just purely time. You know, I'm sure everyone knows what it's like when the kids are off holidays. Suddenly, it's way more demanding than usual, isn't it? You're out of your routine. Timing is all over the place. And by the time you get to the end of the day, you just want half a bottle of wine and some meth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll take the wine.
Yeah, maybe the meth was too heavy. I mean, they're not that bad.
Only the first time.
Yeah. But it's true, isn't it? It's just a lot.
It is a lot.
I've also been editing my script stuff, really still pushing for meetings on that. And also I'm writing my book, which I started to do as something to do because I was sitting at home waiting for the script people to get back to me. And I know it's such a long waiting game. I know it can take a good couple of months for anyone to reply. So I was like, I can't just sit here and piss around on TikTok. I've got to do something else. So I started writing a book as a bit of a distraction. And do you know what? It's actually really helped because most days I'm too absorbed with the book to be worrying about the script, aren't I?
Yeah. And you work really hard, and there's been a couple of nights where it's like 1:30, 2 in the morning. It's like, I set up as moral support in another room just so there's someone up with you, but I need to go to sleep now.
I told you to go to sleep. I don't know why you're still up.
Because I support you. You always say you don't support me. I do, in ways you don't realise.
Although I'm quite pleased, because you know how I have my headphones on to do my writing? Because I like to sort of zone out and even listen to some music or ASMR. I kept realising that I wouldn't know if someone was standing behind me, because, you know, I've got headphones on, and that started freaking me out at night. I couldn't concentrate.
Oh, my God.
Well, you don't know.
You get some weird things into your head, and it's just, honestly, I need to start writing them down.
Write it down. I'm not ashamed.
I will.
Screenshot it, bitch.
I'm gonna do a little sticky note.
A little sticky note?
Yeah. Stick. You got sticky notes on your computer now.
Yeah. Oh, have you? Little built-in ones. Oh,
yeah.
What's going on? So the other reason why I've been a bit MIA is because we had a really tough emotional half term, didn't we, that we just did not expect to happen. It sort of happened really quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Very quickly.
Shall I start?
Very quickly indeed. Yeah, no, crack on.
Well, obviously I don't want to say too much because at the end of the day, it is still Miley's situation more than it is ours. So I don't want to say too much, but basically the long and story short is, I think Miley has been really curious lately as to where and who she comes from, which is obviously not, some of you will know and some of you will not know. It's not Ryan. Ryan is not the biological dad. I met Ryan when Miley was 3, didn't I?
3. You got it right.
So he's not the biological dad. Miley's biological. We call him M. And we sort of broke up around Christmas time when Miley was about 4 months old. And then by the time she was about 6 or 7 months old, he just stopped coming around altogether, just disappeared, blocked me on everything, avoided me like the plague. Like, he just didn't want to know. He just started, you know, making a new life for himself, new girlfriend, new home, just like, and then the new family, you know, like, he just seemed to want to drop everything out, so whatever. And I've always told Miley the truth, but without being nasty, because I don't want to slag off her biological dad, because I don't ever want to be the person that does that, putting a bad taste in her mouth. Because if like in this scenario, if she was ever to meet him, I still want her to make her own mind up, which I kind of think she's gotten to, hasn't she? In a sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happened was, we've had a very brief chat lately, and I think mine's become curious because a lot of her friends have separated parents. So a lot of her friends will say, I'm off to my dad's this weekend. And I think that's really got her curious into her own situation, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
She ended up reaching out and she was like, I would really like to see him. I want to know what it's all about. Will he meet me? Because another thing Miley has really struggled with is that she's always blamed herself for him leaving, which is so aggravating. Because as much as I tell her, bless her, she's not been confident with it. Like, she always feels like it's something that she's done. And I'm like, babe, you were 6-7 months old. I mean, yeah, your nappies were a bit rough, but it's no reason for anyone to go away. So, but bless her, she's always assumed that it's something down to her. So regardless, anyway. So I don't have M's details. I haven't had them for years. And if I ever do have them and speak to him, he'll just block me. Like, he's not interested. I think even Miley has messaged him before on her Facebook and he ignored it, didn't he?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
no luck over the years. But I went via M's mum because I thought she will reply. And she was very much excited and open to the idea, which, I knew she would be. And she said, she'll speak to M, get it all arranged. He'll be there, definitely. Which is very much how I expected that to go. The thing is, like, M is quite influenced by his mum, isn't he? So,
yeah, very much so. Very much so.
If she says go, he'll go not to look bad. That's my opinion anyway. But yeah. So it all got set up. We were going to go to Costa Coffee down in Kent because they live Brighton area. So we had to come from Norfolk and kind of meet in the middle, so to speak. And I went to my dad's and obviously told him briefly and he was a bit worried about the whole thing. Took Molly down to Costa. Ryan stayed at home at dad's and it was just the most uncomfortable situation. And the thing is that I was realising was that even though I thought I had absolutely zero half feelings towards him because I hadn't seen him in like 12 years, all of that became untrue when I suddenly saw him. Because suddenly when I saw him, I actually felt so sad for the rejection for Miley. I felt so angry with the lack of support and financial support and just emotional support. Like, I felt so let down. And I also just felt irritated that somebody could just have a child and then not care about them for 12 years. Even when there's a world pandemic, to not check in and be like, hey, is she okay? Do you know what I mean? That would be the first thing in my mind. So all of them emotions come back. So now I'm looking at him like he's a piece of shit. I was like, where did this come from? I thought, I'm fine. And he literally sat down and he was like, you all right? And I was like, I think I just gave him the death stare. I was supposed to answer, but nothing came out my mouth. So I'm just looking at him like a psycho. And I thought what I didn't want to do is I didn't actually want to stay there the entire time because I just knew Miley is so awkward. Her biological dad is so awkward. I just knew no one was going to talk if I was sat there. So Miley's nan led the way of a lot of the conversation. He didn't say anything at all, nothing to her. In like the 10 minutes I was there, he didn't say a word. He didn't even look in her direction. And then I said, I'm going to go. Like, I'll be back for her in half an hour. Like, it's such a scary thing to do, to leave her. But, I trust the nan. I know she's in, he's not a bad guy. Like, my dad was saying to Ryan, obviously he's never met him. He's not a bad guy. He just hasn't got a backbone or any morals.
The way to put it is he's get up and go, got up and fucked off.
Yeah, like he's not a violent man. He's not like a criminal. He's none of those things. He just, I don't know. If he was any more laid back, he'd be on the floor. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how he is. So I left. And then when I come back, I was, quite excited to hear from Miley how it all went. But we got very flat responses, didn't we?
It was very almost, I don't know how to put it, very flat, I suppose, just one word, two word answers.
It was like she was trying to be happier and more positive about the situation than it actually was. So she'd be like, we've got loads in common. I'd be like, do you? She'd be like, he likes rock music too. I was thinking, what a liar. He was heavy into drum and bass back in the day. It may have changed, but I can't see it. But I thought, well, it's nice if they found one thing that they have in common, then that's a topic of conversation, isn't it? So I was like, you know, doing the whole supportive mum thing, and I was like, well, that's interesting. And but that was literally it. Like there was, she wasn't rushing out with so much to tell us, was she?
No, it was very limited. And I from my view, from my side of this, is it was very difficult for her to go in there and, you know, just be herself, because without sounding rude, she was talking to a stranger. You know, and you wouldn't just go randomly and sit in Costa and just start talking to someone and telling them everything about you. So I understand that, but I felt sorry for her, because I think, like you said, she was, I think what she was hoping for was it was going to be a case of, I'm just going to put it bluntly, I've just met my real dad and he's into this and we've got this much in common and blah, blah, blah. And I think when she didn't get that, I think she kind of felt very disheartened, but she didn't, like you said, she didn't want to show it. She wanted to go, yeah, it was really good. And then that was it. It was like, okay, so I had to go, yeah, really well. Okay, good. You want to expand on that? No?
I do think that she was mostly trying to like reassure us. I think maybe she just thought, I know this is a really big deal. And in the back of her mind, I know she was like, I know Mama struggled to come in here as well. I know Granddad wasn't keen on this. Like, I think she had all those things on her mind.
Yeah,
I
think she, absolutely.
If she reassured us and was like, oh my God, I had such a great time. Like, I think she thought that it would just lighten the mood and we'd just all be so happy about it, you know?
Yeah. And as hard as it is for me, with this now happening after all these years, people might go, don't be stupid, don't be selfish. It's not it. It's, you know, like I said, I've been brought my dad up since she was 3. And,
oh, absolutely.
You know, to now have someone else come in and not play the role, but, you know, be that figure as such, it's kind of, it was difficult, but I wanted it to go well for her, because I wanted her to have that excitement and have that person in her life. But it's not quite on the plan, I don't think.
Well, no, because I mean, I said to Miley, did you want to see him again? And after like very vague, unsure responses, she kind of said yes. Like she did say yes, and then she sort of changed her mind after the second visit. But I'll get to that. She said yes. So me and her nan then kind of thought of the next arrangement visit already, which was going to be in a few weeks' time, which was just after her birthday. And I thought it'd be nice, because obviously he hasn't seen her for any birthday or spent any time with her or bought her any birthday presents of any kind. So I thought that'd be something he can do. And the nan was even very much like, okay, let's meet in Great Yarmouth. Well, not her, but Miley can meet him in Great Yarmouth. He'll take her to get some birthday presents, blah, blah, blah. Like, she kind of built it up to be like this really sort of special day when Miley was going to be spoiled, you know, which I do think is the least she deserves. I don't necessarily mean it's all got to be about gifts, absolutely not, but no. I just think a day where she was going to be made to feel quite special would have been really lovely.
That's what she deserved, the least she deserved.
I was extremely surprised that he went to Great Yarmouth, obviously coming from Brighton. I was so surprised he got the trains up and did this, because he's just never done anything like this before. The last time I ever arranged to meet up with him was in Tunbridge Park back in 2014. He didn't turn up. So I was not expecting it. So fair play. Credit where credit's due. He was there. Yeah. He was sat by himself. And I know that's got to be quite awkward as well, because you don't, you know, like me and you and Teddy were walking along as well. So
we're
there. He sees us. It must be a bit awkward. So I thought fair play to that. And as you know, because you were there, we left him to it. And me and you and Ted went around Great Yarmouth for a couple of hours on our own. But I think that visit is where it cemented something for Miley, because I think she was unsure how to take it first, because you know, you're like a rabbit in the headlights, aren't you? Like, oh, this is your biological dad, now talk, you know. It's a bit much. But I think after the second visit, she sort of come away from it, and she said, actually, I'm quite happy if I only see him maybe like once or twice a year, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, and again, I think that's where she's so sweet and thoughtful and thinking about other people, because I actually don't think she's that fussed at all now.
No, I think you're right.
Because of personal things that she told us. But I think that she's trying not to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah. I think it's such a big step for her. Bear in mind, she's only 13 still. You know, people go, oh, you know, she's a teenager now. But yeah, but 13-year-olds like to think they know everything, but they don't know a lot. And
yeah,
to make a big decision like this and have this such high expectation, and then for it to not go how she thought it would. I think you're right. I think she is now thinking, well, I don't want to let him down. I don't want to let his mum down. So I'll go along for maybe another visit, maybe another five visits. Who knows? But yeah, from her body language, her tone of voice, and just her general sort of attitude towards it was very much maybe. But well, more leaning towards no.
Yeah, because I think what broke the camel's back with it is that, it's such a horrible thing to really say, but I don't think he was that interested in Miley when they met up. Because when Miley come back, you know, the first thing I said, what did he get you for your birthday? And she said, oh, nothing in the end. I just got this card. It was a very basic card. And it was literally to Miley from my Serona. Think that was a good save?
Yeah, you just about pulled it off.
I don't care at this point. I'm over it. But he actually put to Miley from Ebb. Like, that was it. Like, there wasn't much feeling in it. So it was like, okay. And then I said to her, you know, what did you talk about? Did he ask you how your birthday went? Like, yeah, I was asking all these questions. And she was like, no, he really just sort of spoke about himself. And I found it quite sad that rather than ask her, like, what she's been up to, who are her best friends, how was her birthday party that she said previously she had this big disco and he didn't ask her about it, and, you know, what are her hobbies? And instead of asking anything, he just said to her things like, oh, me and my family, we all go on holiday together once a year, and, you know, I've got my in-laws are this and my in-laws are that. And it was just like, it was very much just about him and his life.
I think because it was all still new and you don't know the person, but let's not split hairs here. You're going to meet your dad. You'd think, well, he's not been around for the last 12 birthdays. So maybe, just maybe, he'll make it up to me. And the idea was, like his mum said, is they'll go out for the day and she'll, you know, get her some presents and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He didn't show up with any. He didn't buy her any when they were there. And I think it was just that kind of cemented it as well, is the disappointment side of it, of, okay, you've been gone for, let's just say, 12 and a half, 13 years, and you got me a card, which she appreciated. Don't get me wrong, she's not an arsehole. She appreciates the card, but
it's still in the car.
Well, yeah.
Didn't say she loved it.
No.
I said, but she appreciated it.
Yeah. But you'd like to think at that age, you go, okay, well, maybe he'll buy me something. Maybe, you know, and didn't. And in that sense, I do feel really sorry for it. I find it awkward talking to her about it, though, because obviously the situation is hard. But and talking to Miley, sometimes you're better off talking to the dog. You probably get more sense, because Miley gives you very one-worded answers on things. How are you? Fine. Okay. How was school? All right. So we have spoke briefly about things, but she's quite a closed book. Which most teenagers are, to be honest.
And I don't want to give off the impression that M can't do anything right. That I'm always going to judge him. No. You know, I think I was trying to put myself in a position of what he is in. I'm now turning up to see my child. This is the second time, and this time it's just me and my child. No one else is around, which is great because it's not so stressful. And I was thinking of all the things I would ask. I know it sounds silly, but I think I said to you in the car, I would even ask things like, "What's your bedroom like?" You know, because it's such a parent thing where you always think about your child's bedroom and how you're going to decorate it and if they're going to love it. And, you know, like you always want them to be comfortable. And it was so silly. Like, I was thinking about stuff like that. What's your bedroom like? Tell me what your best friends are like. What are their names? Like, have you had a boyfriend? Like, there was
Got any simple things sometimes? Like, you got any pets? You know, what's your house like? You know. You got a TV in your room, things like that. You know.
Surely these are things that have been basic questions that have built up over the years that you would love to know the answers to.
Yeah.
When he didn't ask her a single one of them, I did feel a little bit like it's almost like he's gone in showing off, like this is my life and we're all great, but didn't exactly bring her into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and. Oh, it's so difficult. It's difficult without sounding rude, without sounding bitter, without, you know, I'm not going to slate him because I have never spoken a word to him. I've seen him in passing. But from what you told me before and what I now know being involved from the start of this, whenever it started back in June, July, whenever the first contact was made, there's just no effort there. And that's what's frustrating is if I'd had a child that I hadn't seen for 12, 13 years, I would, and then that child's then made contact with me to be involved in my life, I'd be doing everything I can. And maybe that's just where me and him are very, very different. But I feel really, really sorry for her that there was this big sort of build up and expectation.
Yeah.
And it's literally someone's just come along with a pin and put a pin in that balloon for her. And I think now she's just kind of, okay, if I see him again, okay. If not, okay.
Yeah. You know. And you know what I just thought was sort of approaching 2 weeks now since that second meetup. And I have checked him with Miley a few times because they swap numbers now. And I said, you know, has he messaged, blah, blah. And he hasn't sent a single text message since. Now I think if after all these years your child is the one that reaches out, like you said, not you didn't do it, but your child is coming to you and giving you an opportunity that really you don't deserve, but they're giving you an opportunity, I'd want to make sure that I cement that, you know, that relationship, like I push for that bond to happen. And I'll be like, hey sweetheart, how was school today? Or just been thinking about our day at Yarmouth, how brilliant was such and such, like little things, like just to keep a sort of a conversation there.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So when she says to me, I've not heard anything, I do feel a little bit like I can't puppet this relationship. Like I can't be the one to set up all the dates that they meet. I can't be the one pushing for the communication because at this point, it shouldn't really have too much to do with me. Like, Miley is a teenager now, and M should just be more capable and do it for himself.
Yeah, and that's where it should be. He's the adult in this situation between the two of them, and he should be saying, okay, maybe just check in with her even once a week, maybe on a Sunday or whatever, or a Friday evening after school. How's your week at school? You know, what lessons have you done? What extra stuff have you done? Have you been out with your friends? You know, how was your weekend, last weekend? What did you get up to? But there's just nothing. And we're actually approaching 3 weeks now.
Yeah, and you know Jodie, our lovely friend Jodie, she actually texted Miley the other day and she was asking Miley about what options she might be taking for school. And she sent me the screenshot. So it was a lovely little text. And I just think, I just wish she, if he was going to bother, I wish she got that type of approach as well. You know, it's just something a bit more thoughtful, something that says, I really want to know all about you, Miley, because I'm very aware that I've missed out. I want to know everything. And that's actually another thing to bring up is that Miley kind of did flirt with the idea of saying, you know, Mum, I am going to ask him, where has he been for 12 years? Why has he not been in contact? Why has he avoided, like, you, Mum, and why has he not been there and all this stuff? But, of course, when it come to it, it was far too awkward for her. And I completely understand that, because it's an adult question, and she's still only 13. And maybe she'll feel more comfortable asking him that when she's 18 or 21. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, she'll know when the time's right. And it's not for, it's almost not for her to ask. He should say, just again, my opinion, maybe should say, look, first of all, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've not been around. I'm sorry I've not been part of your life. I had X, Y, and Z going on. I wasn't ready to be a dad. I couldn't do this. I couldn't, didn't feel like I could manage this. Whatever it is, I feel like, yes, Miley will one day want to ask that question. I think that maybe he should have given a reason already.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she is 13. She's not stupid. Yeah. She's 13. She's not six. I think it would have gone a long way, as an olive branch to her. But I don't think that's going to come anytime soon, in all honesty.
No, and you know what? There's a lot of respect to be had for people that do hold their hands up and just say, do you know what? The truth is, I just fucked up. Like, there's no excuse. You know, whether it's because of my age or whether I was in a going for a bad time in my life, like, whatever the reason is, it wasn't good enough for you. I fucked up, and I'd really like the opportunity to completely start afresh, almost, you know, like, there is a lot of respect to be given for people that just own up. But I think people cowardly darting around and dancing around the important questions and still shifting blame, it's hard, because I actually forgot to say on this pod, but Miley, one thing she did do was she did ask the nan where he had been and why he hasn't been around. And the nan said that it was because of the relationship breakdown, which doesn't answer the question, because, you know, thousands and thousands of families separate and divorce every single day, but the kids are not forgotten about, you know?
No.
They shouldn't be.
No.
You know, most parents are going to court to fight for custody,
not
just giving up and walking away. So the fact that we broke up is not a good enough excuse. I'm allowed to break up with somebody. It doesn't mean that I didn't want him to be a dad anymore.
Absolutely. And
like, where'd you go, hun?
Yeah. Again, just from knowing what you've told me and what the rest of your family told me, and now just seeing the effort for myself, like, I didn't know whether when this kicked off, we didn't know whether he was going to come in all guns blazing with showering her with gifts and phone calls and whatnot, or it was going to be what it is now, which is not a lot.
No.
But it's difficult. It's a difficult situation. I think just needs to be honest with her. He can't keep leaving it to other people to explain the situation to her. I think every story has two sides. And I know that you've been honest with Miley whenever she's asked a question. You've given her the honest answer. But I think he needs to, if he wants this to continue, he needs to be open and honest with why it happened. He can't, putting it bluntly, can't keep hiding behind his mum and letting her explain everything. It needs to come from him at some point.
I think you just got to grow a pair and own up as well, because unfortunately, Em did go on to have another child, and he hasn't seen that child since that child was a newborn. So, like, and that was, I think that child now is about 6 or 7. So there is a, you know, there is a pattern here. This can't be just my fault as I think he would wish I would just say it was, to make it easier for him. Obviously something that he does, because it's happened to a little boy as well, which is really sad. So yeah, he just need to say something more. I think it's just the least she deserves, just to hear and understand that of course it was never been her fault, like she feared, and that,
yeah,
you know, it was for whatever reason.
And I think she's realized that now, like, but I still think that ultimately, at the end of the day, to cut a long story short, is he owes her an explanation. You know, if he broke up with you, or you broke up with him, you split ways, you know, fine. Like you said, thousands of people do it every day. They break up.
Absolutely. But
you don't then just leave your children behind and disappear on them and not provide for them.
No, and I think I'd really love to hear from people, whether it be in my Insta or I think Insta's the easiest one, actually. Let me know on Insta whether anyone else has been in this position where the biological father or mother, because obviously it flips both ways, has ever come back. Because I think this is quite a rarity almost. I think majority of the time, when a mother or a dad walks out of that child's life, they don't often come back, I find. I've got so many older friends who are in the same boat, and it's just so rare that you hear of them coming back. Like, once they've gone and they've been gone for a long time, that does seem to be it. So it'll be so interesting if someone else has dealt with this as well, where they've suddenly, although Marley went and got him, he didn't just come back, but he's in our lives, so he is here now.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to hear like how other people are tackling it, because it's a hard one. It's a hard one trying to remain Switzerland when I don't owe him nothing, but Miley's my priority and I want to protect her and be fair. Like, there's so much to it. There's so much goes through your mind, you know?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, absolutely. You know, when they met that day and they wandered off on their own, it was such a trying to entertain Teddy and trying to show him that we're having a normal day, even though it was anything but normal. And he knew that. He's not silly, but, you know, you've got him with you. He's in your care and you're trying to look after him and make sure he has a nice day. But the back of your mind's holding you back because you're constantly like, is she okay? Is she having a nice time? Is my phone ringing in my pocket and I've not heard it and she wants me to go and get her? You know, loads of different scenarios run through your head. And I hope if it continues, it gets to a point where she's confident enough to be okay. But I'm not sure.
It's a tough one. And if we have any updates, you know, down the line that we can share that Miley won't mind us talking about, then we absolutely will. But I do have a feeling that this is fizzling out quicker than it started.
Yeah. And it started quick.
But we shall see. So let's talk about how criminally hot it's been and how happy are you that it's cooling down now?
Well, I don't feel like it is cooling down because I've had to shut the door so the kittens don't escape. I've got a laptop on my lap that's red hot and you made me a hot tea. I mean,
I know, you're welcome.
Anyone would think it's winter in this house.
I know. Speaking of the Grandma. Kittens, spit fuck off. Speaking of the kittens, they were born mid-July. They are now about to be 8 weeks next week. They're so close to going this week. They're so close to going to new homes. And it's just, first of all, the worst thing we did was name them. Tell them the names, babe.
We've got Nashville, who we're keeping. And he's a proper character. And then we've got Rogue, because she is very naughty. two are going off together. The owner has named them as Ziggy, and she was very thoughtful with the second name and naming it Teddy, because Teddy's been really worried that they're going to leave and not be okay. Yeah. So she's called it Teddy so that he'll be a part of that cat forever. And
yeah.
Teddy seemed very touched by that.
He does. But Teddy was called Sharon, which I do think was a banging name.
Yes. And then we've got, Jackie.
Yeah, we got Jackie.
We got Jackie. And purely because of Stallone's mum.
Yeah.
Because you called one of them Stallone, didn't you, for a while? Because it's got like a little bit on its lip.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of white patch. So then you was trying to name the other one. I said, well, why not Jackie? I know it's not his mum, or her mum, but it's, yeah, Jackie. And she is, if we could keep two, we'd be keeping Jackie as well, because she is
so soft. Very,
very, very cute. Very.
She's going to love cuddles. But, chilled, I mean, it's crazy to have three cats. That's a lot of litter. That's a lot of shit. I won't be able to cope. What are you showing me?
What do you mean, what am I showing you?
Oh, I thought you were showing me Nashville or something.
No, Siggy.
Aww. But we have grown quite attached. It's going to be difficult. I'm kind of happy because obviously it is chaotic having five kittens running around. Like, they're in everything. They want to chew wires. They want to electrocute themselves. They want to do the great escape and run out as soon as you open a door. Like, it's a lot. But also, they are so much fun and they're so sweet to watch play, aren't they?
They are. They are. But I think my stress levels will come down.
Yeah.
When they've gone.
We'll update you on that soon, guys. So next pod, I'm with my sister and we are going to be talking about fertility, infertility, and also kind of knowing when it's time to say, I'm done. No more kids for me. Thank you very much. Do you ever know? Can you always be 100% sure? Ryan's nodding. You're not the woman, hon. This is from a woman's perspective, okay?
Okay, I was going to say, you've got two examples upstairs. I'm done.
So tune in for that, guys. I should be posting that one next week. Thank you for being patient and the fact that we pretty much just fucked off for the entire summer holidays. And if you're back, thank you for coming back and listening. And we'll catch up soon. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
You're so delayed. Do it quicker.
Oh, sorry. Bye.
No, wait. Ready? Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Fuck off. There was another delay. Are you taking the piss?
No, it wasn't.
There was. Do it quick. Ready?
As soon as you finished talking, no. I said bye.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
I'm sorry. When you listen to this back, you were going to realise it's like you're slow.
No, babe. No, babe. I can hear you in the other room about 3 seconds ahead of what is coming through on the headphones. So actually, it's a connection problem.
Yeah, all right then. Right, one last time for fun. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Bye.